Welcome to episode 375 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 25th of April 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone and iPad, and Android app. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, Steve, and myself, Daryl, and your guests today are Shani Bennett and Tristan Good.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now. Holding brain hands.
Daryl.
Hello, Brad. Hello. Sorry. Firstly, before I introduce myself, I made an intro error. It's actually recorded on the 23rd of April, not the 25th. Because 25th is Anzac Day here, and I had Anzac Day on the brain rather than the 23rd. So
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, no, I thought someone will play it at some stage and say, did you record it on a Monday? So I thought I'll put that in there as a explanation mark. Me bad.
So yeah, it is today's the 23rd of
April, not the 25th. Right? I know for our American friends, we're always in your future, but we're not that far in your future.
Yeah, exactly. How's your week been, Daryl?
It's been a good week. Still madly rehearsing for the play Cozzy, which comes up in the middle of May here, and work and on a personal note, I finally got notification of when I'm going to get my eye surgery done, and that will be on the 26th of May. So I've got a month away, and I might have two good eyes to sort of stare at people. So.
Good stuff, mate. Can't wait to hear
I don't know whether I can live stream the operation. That might turn Facebook people off. But anyway,
good stuff, mate. Can't wait to hear from that. And you also got a new microphone coming up.
Well, I've got it. Yes, I've ordered a sort of a birthday present to myself because my birthday's coming up. It's the Heil PR40. So you use that, Brad, and you always sound nice dulcet tones on the podcast. So I've got that coming from Mr. Amazon, and hopefully it should be here on the 2nd of May, if not before. It's already on its way, winging its way to Australia as we speak.
Yep. Can't wait to hear that as well. Jacob, welcome to the show, man. How's your week been?
All right, but horrific power outage over in this area.
Yeah, your mum sent me a message on Facebook this morning, said the power went out, so
that's actually me.
Was?
Yeah, I was just being nice on letting you know.
Well, then was that your mum that spoke to me afterwards?
Yes.
Right, okay, I just want to check. Anyway, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been good. Other than that, yeah, the power out here, if a little twig hits it or a small gust of wind, it'll knock the power out for like an hour or two.
Move to Australia. Move to New York.
Okay.
Move anywhere from where you are right now. You can get a better place where you are.
It's better. It's just we're in the hurricane season.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. Yeah,
you're in the States as the hurricane season.
How long does it go for? 6 months, isn't it? 6 months?
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, anything else you want to report on, mate, before we go to Steve?
Nothing much, Brian.
All right, mate. Have you on.
Keep the flow going.
Good to have you on. Steve, how'd your week been, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Just yesterday I received my new monitor, a 29-inch ultra-wide display, mostly used for video editing because of the size and plus, I don't know, also the color I've been noticing using on some of my older monitors, when I put it up to YouTube, it's either too dark or too bright. So the color calibration is better on it too. So
okay.
Cool. Lovely.
Very nice. Very nice. What brand was that, Steve?
Oh, it's an LG. It's a good brand.
Stuff, LG. LG, well done. And shout out to Corey Jacob. Corey, each week he retweets this show, the podcast.
Yes, he does. And he does a pretty darn good job about it.
What do you want to say to Corey, Darryl?
Well done, and thank you very much for your support and for sharing it. I mean, it's always great if people are always saying, how can they help a podcaster out? Well, one thing you can do is, if you like the podcast, is share it out amongst your social networking friends.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Sharing.
Yep, that's it, Steve. And thank you to Corey for sharing the podcast each week. Mate, you're a legend. Steve, anything else?
That was it. Next week, unfortunately, I won't be here. I'll be in Chicago next weekend.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's go to Shani. How's your week been, Shani?
Yeah, my week's been amazing. I did a talk here in Adelaide on Tuesday to 40 people, which was amazing. And the Gary Vaynerchuk videos just hit 20,000 views.
Oh, well done.
And also, yeah, the workshop's kind of like sold out after 2 days. So that kind of hit around 22,000 as well. So just a really big week.
Jeez, that's good.
Yeah, exhausted. So ready for a long weekend.
Good stuff. How was Gary Vaynerchuk when you were chatting to him?
Oh, amazing. He's a genius.
He is.
He's a total genius.
Okay. And how long did you speak to him for?
40 minutes.
Oh, well, jeez.
As long as we're on this podcast, I had with Gary Vaynerchuk.
40 minutes. And it's so much good information that he speaks of, isn't it? Very good information. Well, what he says.
He's just incredibly bright. You know, like he's really interested. He's egoless. He's not like an egomaniac or anything like that. He really cares. And he was really interested. So when we were chatting, he just listened to what I did, my business, some of my clients, what we were up to. And he just provided his thoughts and advice. And have you seen that video that I put together?
I have, yes.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I didn't share on that particular video was he left me with one piece of parting advice. Do you want to know what that was?
Sure.
He said, whatever you do, start a podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what I've done.
So you're already there and the rest of us are catching up.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a lot of work to do a podcast, and you know, I've told Jacob this before, and you know, you need to keep going with it. You know, you just can't, you know, do it for like 2 days and then get sick of it. You know, you got to keep going with it. You know, you just can't get bored of it. You know.
Yeah, totally. And I think like you guys seem to have the balance right. I've listened to back about 10 episodes, and you know, I think that once a week on a clear cut time, you know, schedule. I think that's really awesome because then your audience, your community starts to look forward to that and they start to really, you know, they're kind of waiting for your next material. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Steve's been on the show since day one, haven't you, Steve? You've been on here for a long time, haven't you?
I don't know if it was like the day one, but probably, I guess I've been here the longest maybe. I don't know.
Yep. You and Jody have been here for the most of...
Moses?
The most.
With
the most.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. That's good, Johnny. That's good to meet Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a cool guy.
Mm, definitely.
Okay, let's go to Tristan. Welcome to the show, mate.
G'day. How are you?
How are you, mate? How's your week been?
Good, good. It's been a busy week, as usual, but a long weekend. It's great.
Yep.
We've been up to all sorts of things. A bunch of my guys have departed today off to Austin, Texas for a conference.
Oh, nice one.
I'll be over there for the week. Back next week, we've got a conference we're coming up on May the 5th in Sydney. I can tell you about it a bit later.
But, sure, mate. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Darryl, what was your view on or what Shani said about Gary Vaynerchuk? Have you met Gary Vaynerchuk?
I haven't actually met him. No, that I mean, it sounds like, well, I've certainly, with podcasting, I think there's sort of been a bit of a renaissance with podcasting. I mean, you know, because I think podcasting's been around since about 2005, I think in the really early days, even before iTunes, and it sort of took off, and then for a while in sort of the middle years, it sort of, well, not so much disappeared, but it sort of was out of the psyche of people. And now for some, I don't know what the reasoning has been, but now it seems to be sort of back with a vengeance. And, yeah, and people are sort of talking about podcasting again and and looking at shows. And, of course, you know, Google have now got their podcasting service out, you know, for podcasters to put in, at least in the US and Canada at the moment. So it seems to be sort of a renaissance. And, yeah, I've heard that from a few people, you know, for business side of it, well, if you want to improve your business, do a podcast. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep, definitely. Let's go to the news then, Daryl. Yep. Let's chat about some news.
No worries. And here's some news for the week. And the first news item is from Mac Rumors. And Apple shares a new ad explaining how iMessages are powered by renewable energy. Apple has released a brand new ad called Renewable Energy, which takes place entirely within the Message app. The ad is focused on explaining how 100% renewable energy at Apple's data centers enables users to send and enjoy iMessages to and from friends. The ad argues that since the tech behind iMessage is renewable energy, renewable and environmentally friendly, users are showing Earth some love. By using the service, the ad ends with Apple's green-stemmed Earth Day logo and arrives just in time for Earth Day, which was on April the 22nd. In 2013, Apple announced that its data centers were using 100% renewable energy worldwide. 93% of Apple's facilities run on renewable energy. Its new headquarters, Apple's Campus 2, will also run on 100% renewable energy. And in the show notes, you will be able to see that in this particular article there or blog post, there is actually a link to the Apple ad, so you can actually watch the ad yourself. The next one is from TV Tonight, Less Marketing for iQ3. So this is an Australian story. Foxtel's website is pushing its iQ2 a year after its iQ3 model launched to a rocky start, according to one media report. Fairfax writes that the earlier model was being pushed through its websites while marketing for the iQ3 has stopped. The latter has been the subject of customer complaints since its March 2015 launch. Both models are visible on the Foxtel site. We have and are continuing to make software updates to improve stability and features of iQ3 box, a spokesperson said. We are confident that any problems some customers have experienced either have been addressed or will be in the near future. Earlier this week, it reported a public float for Foxtel was being delayed until 2017. And of course, it's saying Fairfax is a joint partner, self-Stan. So that's it for Foxtel. The next one is from LA Times, and this is why Intel is laying off thousands of workers. Like Microsoft, Intel is trying to adapt to a post-PC era. These days, it's hard to conjure the sense of dread that the word Wintel inspired during the PC era. In the waning decade of the 20th century, Wintel referred to the duopoly of Microsoft Windows and Intel x86 chips that together steamrolled competitors and dominated the tech landscape. Of course, the Wintel platform still dominates the PC sector, but PCs aren't what they used to be. Global shipment of desktops and laptops peaked at 365 million units 5 years ago and fell to 289 million in 2015. Meanwhile, combined sales of tablets and smartphones surged to about 1.7 billion units last year. In that context, Wintel dominates the way a trunkless statue of Ozymandias presides over an arid desert. That's something I'll have to look up on Wikipedia, I think. Microsoft and Intel saw the slowdown coming and tried to respond. Both companies watched their stock trade sideways during the decade after the post.com boom. Both struggled for years to find a foothold in the smartphone market. Both have named new CEOs over the past 5 years who vowed to upgrade their business to mine future areas of growth. To date, Microsoft has had a more successful transition under Satya Nadella. The Redmond Wash-based firm engineered a bold restructuring, laying off thousands of workers last year and repositioning the company around a growing market. This isn't to say that Intel is in trouble, but its transition from a dependency on an aging, still profitable business of PC chips to more promising markets is taking longer than many have hoped. And that's the article does go on, but I will finish that one there. And the last one is from TechCrunch. Facebook Messenger launches group calling to become your phone. Jump on the party line or hear the voice of your whole family with Facebook Messenger's latest features rolling out globally over the next 24 hours on Android and iOS for free. Users can start a group VoIP audio call from any group chat. Just tap the phone icon, select which of the group chat members you want to include, and they'll all receive a messenger call simultaneously. If you miss the initial call but it's still in progress, you can tap the phone icon in the group chat to join the call at any time. You can see who's on the call and send another ping to anyone who hasn't joined, and that's from TechCrunch, so go to it, all you messenger fans. And that is the news.
Great stuff, Daryl. Good reading from you, mate. And the Facebook group chat, we actually tried that the other day, Jacob, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
But Daryl, you didn't answer.
No, I was on reception. I saw it. I heard the pings for it, but I was at reception and I sort of at work, so I couldn't sort of.
Try it.
It looks good. It looks good.
Okay, cool.
And try it after the podcast.
Go ahead, Jacob.
I was just saying, try it after the podcast if you want.
It's up to you, mate. I'm easy. With the Foxtel IQ branding, what are you thinking about that, Daryl?
Look, yeah, it's a bit of a concern when they're saying that they think they've fixed the IQ3 issues, but my suspicion is if you're not marketing IQ3 and you're actually marketing more the predecessor, then obviously they still have some concerns, or whether they just feel the IQ3 brand has been badly damaged by all the bugs that seem to come out when it was first released, and it's sort of like, you know, it's over 12 months since it's been released. So whether they just feel the branding is not recoverable, so they're just going to sort of push it sideways, or whether they still have some concerns that there are still some issues related to it, so they're going to push the IQ2, because I guess they don't
The IQ2 now, I don't think they're going to push the IQ through. I think they're going to launch another box.
Ah, well, you know, and I guess they want to try and hold on to as many people as they don't want to lose people off Foxtel because they're just frustrated. So they're trying to, I think, keep people into Foxtel by saying, hey, you know, we'll you know, you don't have to have an IQ3 if you don't want to.
Yeah, I love Foxtel. I've actually got an IQ3. Mine works fantastic.
Yep.
I did hear that Foxtel may be launching an Apple TV style sort of box.
Well, I think it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, if they want a box that you can add other apps to and do all sorts of things with, you know, so like an Apple TV. So
yeah, they really need to add Foxtel Go on the Apple TV.
So hopefully, as I say, at the moment it's a bit. Well, maybe the IQ3 is on the way out and. If you say if they're going to do another box, they might just be saying they might just push the IQ3 sideways.
I don't think they're going to push the IQ3. They're still working on stuff, and you know, I do talk to Foxtel a fair bit, and they are working on stuff. Yeah, they put out a new Foxtel Go app update the other day with a whole new design and stuff, and that looks fantastic. So they are doing stuff.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get it all, whatever it is, they'll get it all sorted because, there's fierce competition for sort of like set-top boxes and all that sort of stuff, you know, and Apple TV and all the rest of it. So they got to get it right or consumers will go elsewhere.
Oh, definitely, mate. Definitely, I agree with that one. Let's go to Shani. Have you got Foxtel or what's your view on them stories?
Yeah, no, I don't have Foxtel. I just have my Mac TV and download stuff whenever I want to watch it.
Cool. Do you have an Apple TV?
Yeah.
The newest one or the oldest one?
I reckon it's an old one. What's the difference?
The one's got this Siri. You can do search and stuff on it.
Okay.
It's really good. Jacob's got one. Haven't you, Jacob?
Yes, I do. And it's rechargeable.
Yeah, the remote's rechargeable and it uses Bluetooth.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is very cool. Any views on them stories, Shani?
No, not particularly. It's all very interesting.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Let's go to Jacob. What's your view on them stories, mate?
We already talked about the Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have less marketing ads on the TV as well.
What do you mean by that?
Well, commercials.
What, for on Fox though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know how you talked about podcasting being, you know, really popular. I think that's why download on demand is going to be the future because no one wants ads.
Yeah, exactly. No one wants ads. I use Netflix more these days and on the Apple TV, and I love it. And just
did you see my article on Blockbuster and Netflix?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen that one. No.
Oh, I did an article about how Blockbuster didn't see Netflix coming.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Blockbuster joined the online domain 6 years after Netflix came about, and Netflix offered to buy Blockbuster. Sorry, Netflix said you can buy us for $50 million. This is in their first 2 years. And do you know how Netflix came about?
No.
All right, the founder Reed someone
Hastings.
Hey, Reed Hastings. He returned Apollo 16. 6 weeks late. Apollo 13, he returned it 6 weeks late and got pinged on late fees.
Oh, wow.
So he said, you know, this doesn't work. So he started Netflix. And 2 years later, they were struggling a bit. So they went to Blockbusters and Reed said, you can buy us for $50 million. And Blockbuster laughed him out of the boardroom. He walked out with his tail between his legs. And then things progressed. And 6 years later, Blockbuster started their online rental domain, you know, where you could just do a DVD ordering by the mail sort of thing, and Netflix was doing the same thing. And then I think about 2007, Netflix started internet streaming, and in the same year, 2007, Blockbuster focused on how to get people to buy more in the store.
Wow.
And that's basically when the turning point shifted. Blockbuster had 2.5 million downloads in that year, and Netflix had 6.5 million. So they just had an edge that couldn't be caught up with. And then Blockbuster invested in vending machines and shopping centers, and a year later they went bankrupt.
Jeez, that's unbelievable, that. Wow. Jake, what's your view on that, mate?
Crazy,
isn't it? Do you still get DVDs, mate?
If I just want to get them and put them away.
Oh, you keep them. You don't send them back.
Actually, I read that story, and I thought it was very interesting. I didn't know it was your story, but I seen it somewhere else. But it's kind of ironic, too, because we had a local video store. I don't know if it's local, actually. It was probably a chain. And then Blockbuster came around, and they went out of business, and then here – Netflix came, and then Blockbuster, well, they're still in the video online business, but all the retail stores pretty much closed.
Well, Netflix, as of April, they have 81 million subscribers and 46 million in the US. Ooh. And the average monthly subscription is $7.99 a month. And back in the day, like Netflix said, oh, you know, Blockbuster's thrown everything at us but the kitchen sink, and like Blockbuster sent them a kitchen sink in the mail.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, true.
That's funny.
It is so crazy. And then you just sort of think about it, and it's like in the end, the Blockbuster revenue model was based on pinging loyal customers for late fees. That was their revenue model.
Wow.
So it really just goes to show, like, if a company like Blockbusters can, like, miss the power of, like, online streaming, you know, over a period of, like, 6-12 years.
Yeah.
This is what we're really dealing with, guys, because, you know, think about it, podcasts and TV and internet streaming versus some sort of push model, you know, when you get stuff pushed onto you from the TV or Foxtel,
yep,
or even the radio. It's actually one of, you know, I don't know what's going on in radio. I'll have a look at that this week. But I think there's stress in that system.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to Tristan. Any views in them stories, mate?
Yeah, most certainly. I had Foxtel
way, way back was the last time I used it. And it was just at the start of when they started to dramatically increase the frequency of ads. And that kind of put me off a long time ago, and I've never really gone back. You're paying premium dollars for, as you say, push technology, and then being bombarded by ads. I find that hard to find palatable. We have a Windows Media Center here that's we've had for I don't know how long, and we download a bit of stuff. We've got a Netflix thing and a Stan thing. We have a look at all those from time to time.
Love Stan.
Yeah, so it's certainly the future is that on-demand model, and at Blockbuster's peril, they ignored it for way too long.
And then we just need to discover like a revenue model that works for the whole system, the whole new pay-to-play platforms. There needs to be a revenue model that makes sense, and continuity works about most if you look at the Netflix model.
I think if they can work out something around, torrenting is still a big thing, especially if they can work out something around that, it's going to service the whole market really, really well. It's just coming up with the right thing, the right technology to get that content out there, distributed peer-to-peer like it is, but actually be able to get some money back to the content creators. That's once they solve that problem, then that'll be the prevalent model, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Any views on them stories, Trent? Any views on them new stories, Jacob?
I threw you a message.
You did.
What'd you say? Thanks. It contains the Netflix.
Oh, you said you have a DVD and what?
I've had it for 2 years.
And you haven't sent it back.
Nope.
Wow. That's crazy.
Because you want to know something? The back of this package is Halloween.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a time.
Anyway, any views on them stories, mate? What's your view on them news stories?
Well, you already hit me.
Okay, let's go to Steve. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. It's interesting with the new renewable energy on their data center, which I knew about, how it's, they're propagating. I'm guessing it's I'm not sure if they're using wind power, but I think they're also solar power, main thing. But well, anyway, plus they've always been earth-friendly, I guess, using recyclable materials and a lot of their products that's can be recycled easily and things like that. And then the Intel story I thought it was interesting too, which is why I kind of included it in the show notes. Actually I found some additional information and some websites, because usually I like to get it from more than one source, that it may also possibly be They're laying these workers off, perhaps because they've been getting some foreign workers, perhaps for cheaper. They showed some additional sources. That could be also a thing. But then again, of course, Intel is big into the PC industry, and then the desktop PC, obviously that's shrinking, which you already know about. But also another interesting note is Apple came to Intel trying to get them to see if they would produce their mobile processor for their new iPhone series back in 2007, which Intel turned down. That's kind of ironic. And, of course, now that mobile devices are now basically overtaking the PC, it's kind of like sending them the kitchen sink in some ways, I guess.
They're having a Blockbuster moment.
Yeah. Blockbuster. They actually still have Blockbuster machines around in the shopping centers as well. Same one.
We got.
Would you hire a movie out of it?
I think it was Blockbuster. I can't remember which one it was.
Would you go and put some money in it and then take it back?
No, I wouldn't.
Sounds really fragile.
Yeah, it is. No, I wouldn't buy a DVD. I stream stuff now. Anything else, Steve?
Oh, just a quick thing, since we're talking about Netflix, really popular here in America, at least around my area, at least that I know of, is we have Redbox, and I think most of their movies are $2 or less, I think, and then per day, so they're pretty popular. Where you can get DVDs or Blu-ray rentals.
All right, cool. Good information, Steve. Let's go to Darryl. Any reviews in them stories, mate, or have I already asked you?
I think the Apple one about the being green, I think that's also a nice marketing ploy by Apple because, yes, the stuff that's coming out of their data centers is green, but the power that your actual phone user uses could be from, you know, anywhere. So, but, yeah, it's a nice marketing ploy. And it's also, yeah, and it is good that Apple – as a large, you know, company that's using lots of data centers, is, you know, aware of where what it's doing with its power, and we all need to become more green. We've done the IQ3. Intel again. It's hard whether they've slightly missed the boat, but it was an interesting article because they were comparing it to Microsoft, and I mean Microsoft under Satya Nadella has tried to pivot a bit. Because you think it was only a few years ago that Microsoft was the big behemoth, and no one would have expected, Apple, for example, to rise to what it was. I mean, Apple at one stage was a basket case, and Microsoft was pumping money into Apple to keep it afloat, basically, before Steve Jobs was coming back. So it just shows when you're a large company, you can't just sit on your hands and think, well, we're going to be large forever, because you'll end up being either a Blockbuster or a MySpace. The Facebook Messenger one is interesting. It's just, again, this fierce competition in the messaging space. You know, you've got Skype and you've got Facebook and you've got a number of other providers out there.
What do you use, Darryl, for messaging? I use iMessage a lot.
Yeah, I use iMessage for the Apple users. Yeah, you know, iMessage a lot, and I'm sort of using the Facebook one a bit more now because of with family members. I still use Skype quite a bit, but it just depends on where.
Do you still make phone calls on your phone, mate?
I very rarely make mobile phone calls. It's just occasionally I do. You know, I very rarely make them. I tend to use text, or I tend to use. You know, yeah. I send a message to someone, and it's done. And the like Netflix and all that. It was very interesting listening to everyone because last night I was walking back from having dinner. I was walking past our video shop here. I live in a small town, and so we've got it's a fairly large shop, and it's got a lot of videos. You know. And I'm thinking, how long is it going to be there for? I think the main reason that those places haven't disappeared already here is because broadband internet has been such an issue in Australia. And in rural areas, people who wanted to stream stuff in a lot of cases couldn't because they just didn't have the internet speed capable of streaming anything. So they've sort of hung on to sort of, you know, getting DVDs. But I think as the NBN is rolling out and as more and more Australians can actually get affordable high-speed internet, I think the days of the DVD rental will disappear, unless there's a niche market for out there, maybe for, say, elderly people who are never going to get the internet. But, yeah, I think it's – and I think, yeah, I'd heard that story about Blockbuster. And I just thought they were obviously they didn't have their eyes on the ball. And, you know, as streaming speeds got better in the US and Netflix was around, they've just eaten Blockbuster's lunch. All right.
Good stuff, Darryl. Good information, mate. Let's go to the guest, first guest. Jacob, who do we have on today, mate?
He's run away to join the Jacob? Circus.
My mouse was giving me troubles.
Kill it then. Kill it. Roll it away.
Get a mouse trap.
Kill it. Get some mouse and stuff.
And today's guest is Shani.
Who?
I said Shani. Ben.
What?
What?
Go ahead, Darryl. Who's the guest, mate?
We have two guests today. Our first guest is Shani Bennett. So I welcome Shani to tech webcast. I know you've been talking to you a bit, so but an official
thanks,
welcome.
Darryl. What an introduction! That was amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yes, yes. welcome to the podcast, Shani. Good to have
you. Thank you.
And tell us about what you do.
I help people be seen and found online. So it's pretty much around, you know, that whole thing about you can build technology and then they'll come.
Yep.
I kind of focus on how to launch a business or how to launch some technology. Like, I'm launching 3 global apps at the moment, and we're not just focusing on the build and the, you know, MVP of those apps. We're really focusing on how to launch and scale globally. You know, it's quite a creative process, because you're looking at, you know, entering new markets you've never been in before, but it's really exciting. So I really just help people who are kind of invisible on the net and help them be seen and found, and it's just, it's an amazing process.
Excellent. So I actually have a quick question.
Yeah, sure.
If you're a startup or you're a brand new or you're thinking of being a startup and you've got this whiz-bang idea but you just don't know what to take the next step, what sort of advice would you give the sort of budding entrepreneur out there?
Well, I've got a video on YouTube that's, you know, about to hit 10,000 views, and it sort of really talks about how to get your idea off the ground, you know, like how to work out whether the idea has legs or not, whether – you know, whether there's a demand for it. I mean, when we built our global app, you know, I went down to the Adelaide University and interviewed 200 students looking at my product and getting them to look at all the wireframes. And, you know, I kind of hid the idea from them because I didn't want to, obviously, you know, when you've got an idea and you're worried about other people kind of copying you or something like that.
Yep.
You know, when went down there, I validated the idea and I got that sort of feedback, and I knew that it was a great idea. And then I get all my clients to do the same thing. I get them to get some validation that the idea's got merit. And one of the best pieces of advice I've ever got was, you know, if you've got an idea, then try and find 10 people who will kind of basically invest in the idea. I don't know if you guys have heard of The Grid. It's like an artificial intelligence website builder in the US. Before they even released the product, they had 28,000 subscribers at $68, $70 US before they even released a product.
Wow, that's confidence in the product.
Well, there is no product. The idea was, though, the website framework, you could build a website on your own. So if you think about the problem these guys were solving, they were helping people build their own websites. I mean, really, everyone wants to build their own stuff. They don't want to be kind of hamstrung with a programmer, or do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So The Grid were actually solving a really solid business problem. So I think for that budding startup that knows they have a really great idea but just doesn't know how to move forward with it, it's just literally like, how can you go from idea to product and customer validation? How can you monetize it? How can you get it built as economically as possible? You know, whether that's here with local resources or over in India with international resources, and then launching and scaling it. Does that help?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of Australian entrepreneurs who, how do they get into the big markets? How do they do stuff? Because, I mean, we don't have that sort of entrepreneurialism, if you like, that is in the US.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm. Let's go to Jacob. Any questions for Shani, Jacob?
How did you get started?
You know, I started off as an accountant like years ago in the corporate world, and I kind of did that for a long time. But the whole time, like if I think back to my childhood, my brother and I were both my brother's a bit like Jacob, you know, really into the technology, into the net, you know. So my brother and I, way back in the day, were just obsessed with the internet. He played games a lot. I played a bit with him, but it's not really my thing. But over the years, that's developed into a real obsession with the online domain. And so I always was kind of balancing my day job with how could I get my business off the ground when it came to the online domain. And I was really trying to do that for 14 years. And it's only really come together in the last couple of years because I got really serious about what I wanted to do. And now I'm doing that. And it just feels really great.
All right.
One more.
Go ahead.
Sure, Jake.
If you didn't have this job, what job would you be doing?
If I didn't have the what?
This job that you're currently doing.
I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. Like, I wouldn't, I'd probably just do it for free if I did couldn't do it and get paid for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
I certainly wouldn't go back to accounting then.
Would you, so Sean, will you be starting up a podcast anytime soon?
It's on the radar. A couple of my clients are looking at it seriously. You know, like the amount of podcasts that came out, that sprung out on the scene last year was 60,000 podcasts.
Wow. That's a lot.
And the most top rated category is the Christian category.
Oh, wow.
So I think, you know, part of me was thinking of missed the boat last year with podcasting, but, you know, now, you know, and I just don't know whether it'd be a good fit for my business or not, but I certainly enjoy it. Being on them for sure. I think what you guys are doing are great.
Yeah, definitely. Steve, any questions? We need to wrap up everything because I want to have a time limit. You know what I mean?
Actually, I have one question that I, because I'm looking on your Facebook page and it looks real interesting because you have a post that says build a following online and turn them into clients, because I do know somebody on YouTube, my favorite YouTuber. I know him very long time, even before his YouTube channel. And so he's actually using YouTube as and his YouTube videos to try to draw to make a following and draw them into clients. Mm. So I think he built his up to he's popular. So he's up to 11,000 followers. So can you tell me
who's that?
Bruce Naylor from I think he has a channel called Frugal Tech.
OK. Well, I think the thing about a following, right, and just think now for this podcast, is one of the beautiful things about the opportunity that lays in front of everyone right now is the ability to share their voice and storytell in this year. So really it's about finding a platform that feels right to do that. So you guys are tapping into podcasting, and then other people have YouTube, and then other people have Facebook, and other people have LinkedIn. You know, my following is over 20 grand now, 20,000 people. And that was built all last year with no paid advertising. And I just blog and I do videos and I share my voice and people follow it. And it's great. We have amazing conversations, brings people, you know, out, and we have discussions and we chat online, and it just feels really good to be able to do that. But one of the things that I found, particularly building that following last year, was it's great having a following, but if they're not clients, then I can't serve those people. You know, they're out there doing their thing, and if anything, I'm driving them to my competitors or just even just leaving them stranded. So one thing I really turned my attention to once I built the following, because like literally at the end of last year in December, I counted up the following and it was over 20, well, it was around 18,000 then. And I was like, holy hell, this is really huge. And that just came about because I took action consistently all last year. I produced content consistently over time. I distributed that on social platforms. Where I was going wrong was the conversion side of it, converting those people to clients. So then what I focused my efforts on was just putting, if you go to my LinkedIn page, every single one of my pieces of content has what I call the bridge on it. It's like a way that people can discover more about me and my business once they've read the material. So they come through the bridge, they come in, they give me their email address, and then we continue the conversation. And that changes all business models that are running on free content right now.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So, Shani, where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you that they want to ask you? I mentioned the Gary Vaynerchuk chat real quick.
Well, Gary Vaynerchuk, I met with him while he was in Sydney. He was here for about 24 hours and he came to a conference. It happened to be sort of like a real estate conference in Sydney. It was like 700 people at this thing. And, you know, I got a one-on-one session with him and I took that really seriously because, you know, I'm sitting there with a genius and, you know, part of me was thinking, oh, my God, like, do I belong here? But then part of me was going, yeah, of course I do. I've been preparing all my life for this. So yeah. I just asked him a few questions and let him speak, and I listened to him and I listened to what he was saying and the things he wasn't saying. And his strategy is really simple. Like, if you break it all down, it's not dissimilar to what I just shared with you guys. It's just he produces free content. He truly believes in the entrepreneurial mission. You know, the opportunities are for startups, agile people or companies who can make a difference with their products. You know, the people that take common everyday services that are sitting on web-based systems right now, the person that brings those down to the phone or the tablet, that's where the opportunity lays. Because people won't be doing business on the computer as much anymore. They want something more convenient.
Yep.
And that's why app-based systems are so transformative for business models. If you can bring a transaction down to the mobile phone, then you are making life easier for people. And then if you can have your business pop up on the mobile phone in front of your audience, then you're even more stronger. So it all comes down to how can you be making life easier, solving problems, and then having your business come up on the mobile phone. So he talked a lot around that, and I pretty much shared everything on that video that I did, which has, you know, now been seen around 20,000 times or whatever it is. But what I didn't put on there was podcasting. He literally said, if you haven't started a podcast, you should start one because that's where the future lays.
Does he does a podcast, right? Does he
do a podcast? Yeah, he does. He does every day. He does the Ask Gary V show, and then he does the Daily V, and then he's got I think they're the two main ones.
Yeah.
That's how he's sharing his content. And it's interesting because people at that point, you know, like you, if you sit around and people go, oh, should I be on Snapchat? Well, that's not really the question to ask. It's like, where are the people you want to talk to? Where are they hanging out, spending their time? And, you know, most people are trying to get their heads around Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, which is fine. And I think that the main thing is, this is what Gary would be saying this if he was here, is we should bed down one platform first, master it. And once you've mastered it, and by master, I mean you have a following, your authentic voice is being expressed, people are following you, they want to find out more, they're becoming clients. Mm-hmm. And once you've done that, you just pick that up into the new platform. So I've mastered Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Twitter it doesn't really work for my business model. I have 28 Twitter followers, and you know, not much is happening over there. Snapchat is really huge and powerful. If you've had a look at it, I certainly suggest you have a look at it. And there's another one called Anchor, which is like an equivalent radio model.
Yep.
So you can have conversations with people all around the world. But I really feel like one of the biggest challenges is these social platforms are all great. What you need, though, is to have a way to convert those people into a community.
Nice one. Jacob, who do you follow on Snapchat? Name one person.
You.
Okay. but I don't post anything. But who do you follow? Who else do you follow on there?
I haven't been on there so long, so I don't know.
Okay, good question. Let's go to Daryl. What about you, Daryl? Do you use Snapchat?
I've got Snapchat, but I haven't really got my head around it yet. I'm more the interface and a few other things, and so I've been using Facebook a bit more now. I was, as I use the long running gag here, a Google Plus user, probably it never gets old, does it?
You know, it's always funny when you say at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, you know, the last person on Google Plus. Although Mike Elgin, I heard him interviewed the other day. Yeah. He's gone back to being a digital nomad, and he was in Cuba, and he was posting stuff because Cuba has just started to open up the internet a little bit from a dark days when there's no internet in Cuba. And yeah, he's still posting to Google Plus. Right. So while he's still doing it, I'll still do it.
Good one, Daryl. Let's go to back to Shiny. Where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you more questions before we go to the next guest?
Oh, look, just reach out on Facebook. I'm Shiny Melinda Bennett, and I have a picture of me with a blue jacket on.
That's it.
Just hit me up on Facebook and shoot a message over, and I'd be happy to help anyone.
Do you add anyone on Facebook or just people you know?
There's a coach page, there's a Shiny Bennett business page, and there's a Shiny Bennett personal page. And I think at the end of the day, if you just kind of run a business page, it's kind of like a ghost town on most business pages because you've got to pay to have that page shown around.
Okay.
So I think if you've got I've just had a quick look at all of your profiles.
Mm.
You know, building your personal brand is like I mean, especially you, Brad, and Daryl, and, you know, building your authority brands, that all starts with Facebook, your Facebook profile. Really? Building that community first.
Interesting. Okay. Well, like a Facebook page or?
No, your personal Facebook page. Because you can actually select people out as friends, like personal friends, and you can just share private stuff with them.
Oh,
and then, yeah, it's just the easiest way to get your content in front of people. Okay. If you do it via a business page, that's the long, hard, slow way to being seen and found online.
Because we do actually have a tech webcast Facebook page, and that's been going for a long time.
How many followers?
1,500.
Right. I have like 18 times that.
So how do you get more? How do you get more then?
Well, I've just looked at yours, Daryl. Your business, your personal page could definitely be improved because you're amazing. Like what you're doing here, as well as Brad and Jacob. And if you post on your tech webcast business page,
yep,
people will not see it unless you put money behind it.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's why you're working your own page, Brad. That's the better way to do it.
Okay.
That's what you could have, like, if you did that consistently for 3 months, your brand would kind of explode.
How much
That's how it works.
So how much would it cost me to do that?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I wouldn't be putting money behind any of these things you're putting up on Tech Webcast now. I mean, you just put my post up there, but the reality is if you've got a business page, around 10% of the people that like that page will see the content.
Okay.
And that's why it's so hard to be seen and found from a business page.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Shani, for the great information.
You're welcome.
That is so cool. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, that's true.
Feel free to come back on anytime you want and have a chat.
Sure, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Let's go to the next guest then, Daryl. Who do we have on, mate?
Let me just open up my document. We have Tristan Good on, who's in. Welcome, Tristan, to Tech Webcast.
Tristan. Yes, welcome, Tristan.
G'day. Thanks, everyone. Pleased to be on. I'll tell you a little bit about myself and where I'm from. I'm CEO of a company called Aptera. We do cloud and DevOps consulting services, but we're very focused on a technology called OpenStack, which is what I mostly want to tell you about. It's a community open source software project that's been going for almost 6 years now. Started by an organization called NASA, which you might have heard of, and another organization called Rackspace. And they got together a few years ago and they had some sort of cloud computing requirements for compute resources and storage resources, and they got together and created this thing called OpenStack, and it grew from there, and a foundation was launched around it to govern the project, and now there's thousands of companies involved with the project worldwide, everyone from, you know, the big guys, the IBMs and HP and Cisco, even Microsoft's involved with it, right through to little companies like us and even smaller companies. And right through to a whole bunch of people that are involved with it. There's tens of thousands of contributors in various ways around the world. It's been an exciting project for us to be involved with over the last few years. We've built a little business. We founded our business back in 2009. I've been in the IT industry since 88.
Wow.
I'm an old grey beard, I guess you could call me, but... we started in September 9, 2009, 9 minutes past nine, and we've grown to about, I think there's nearly 50 of us now, across Australia, Singapore, Taipei, India and Bangalore, and I'm up in Budapest most recently. So, you know, we've got a great little engaged team, and we work on this project with a whole bunch of people around the world. It's a
nice one.
Tell you about OpenStack. It's a little bit like... you know, you probably know Linux, which is sort of started in a different way. This is sort of started similarly, but more corporate focused. It's cloud computing platform. It's kind of was looked at as an alternative to Amazon and Microsoft Azure, which are the dominant sort of proprietary cloud platforms out there at the moment. What it's evolved into is I guess more of a private cloud platform or a glue for technologies around software defined infrastructure. So, you know, software-defined compute resources, storage resources, network resources that companies might want to deploy in-house. There's it's a particular interest to telcos and the financial services industries that are, you know, obviously can't use cloud computing platforms effectively like Amazon as much as they'd like to in house and things like that. So yeah, that's and the reason I mentioned that the conference is we've got a conference coming up on May the 5th in Sydney, but more importantly next week, every 6 months all the developers, well, not all of them, but a lot of them get together every 6 months to sort of do the roadmaps for the project. So that's happening in Austin next week in Texas. They've been doing that for the last 5 years. Then they're off to Barcelona in 6 months. But more excitingly for Australia is the November 2017 one next year is going to be either in Melbourne and Sydney, and I believe Sydney's the front runner at the moment. And that brings about 5,000 people, tech people from all around the world to Sydney or Melbourne to talk about cloud computing, open source cloud computing.
Nice one. Do you know of Robert Scoble at all? Do you, Tristan, Robert Scoble?
Yeah, I do. He's I think we follow each other on Twitter and he's on my LinkedIn. He was an advocacy an advocate at Rackspace for Robert. I think he just left and went somewhere.
I think he did. Yeah, he went to do something with VR, I think he did.
Yeah, that's right. Dead on, yeah.
Yeah, I actually met Robert Scoble when he was in Melbourne a while back. He's a great guy to speak to.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been on this podcast a few times as well. He's always good to have on to chat about. And, let's go to Jacob. Any questions for Tristan, Jacob?
No, because he already answered them all in one go.
All right, there you go, mate. That's done. Done. Let's go to Steve. Any questions, Steve?
Actually, he kind of answered. I think I might have heard of OpenStack, you know, but a couple of times. But
you might have had someone on the podcast from OpenStack before as well. I think.
Maybe that was it. Interesting.
I think we might have spoken.
Yeah, about. Must be a while back. I did have a look through and I couldn't find anyone there, and I thought, okay, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
New blood.
Definitely. So Steve, any questions, mate?
I'm trying to think. I know, well, considering that we did talk about Apple does have their data center, which is, I think, fairly new. It uses renewable, you know, energy, but, what kind do they use? I knew at one time they're using Microsoft Azure. I don't know if they're using anything now for their own data center, something like OpenStack. I don't know if you would.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing with OpenStack is, you know, as I said, it's open source, it's flexible. So it's kind of the ideal thing that they might like to use in Apple. I know that, just recently, Volkswagen have decided to build all their internal resources on OpenStack. As a telco, from the telco side of things, like AT&T have and you know, Telstra have an interest in there as well.
What type of cloud services could you actually do with this? I mean, could you like media files or?
So, mostly it's used for infrastructure as a service. So spinning up virtual machines and building networks around virtual machines. But increasingly now it's sort of developing into a platform for containers and things like that. You know, like you sort of got Kubernetes and Docker and, the sort of container technologies, microservices. I don't know whether this is sort of, you know, kind of, getting a bit too techie or getting a bit too sort of into the.
Oh, you just went over my head.
So, if you look at things like Amazon, we mentioned Amazon before, I think in the green room, we're talking about the retail supply. So what they've done a very good job of is the infrastructure they built for that is selling that off as cloud. And it's a proprietary thing. And not, like I said, not everyone can use that. And what they do is, you know, Amazon are continuously innovating and adding more user-friendly services on top of it. They're making it easy, particularly to scale out web presence and things like that, something that, you know, Shani mentioned before about how to, you know, get your presence online and scale it out. They've made tools that are particularly easy to do that. And I guess what OpenStack is offering is a counterpoint to that. Something that, you know, in the same way that Linux offers you a counterpoint to server technologies that Microsoft, server and you know, proprietary server technologies offer you at the server level, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, stuff. We mentioned that near the end of the podcast, Jacob, real quick. Go ahead, Jacob. What do you want to say, mate?
Oh, you want me to answer it at the end of the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, please do. Okay. Let's go to Darryl. Let's go to Darryl real quick because we need to wrap up the podcast.
No worries.
Shortly, mate.
How with OpenStack, like I guess it's very scalable because, I mean, we've talked about some of the, I guess, bigger uses for it. But if you were, a small Australian company and you wanted some cloud space but you didn't have access or you didn't want access to, say, Amazon and some of the other big players, is OpenStack an easy option for you to put into play?
Yeah, well, a great example is that the smallest project we ever did was for a gentleman called Bunny Huang. I don't know whether you've heard of him. The Novena Open Laptop Project is a thing that where he's a chip designer. He was the guy that originally cracked the Xbox.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
All right. And he started up an open source laptop project, and he was having a whole bunch of volunteer developers that were building stuff on Amazon that was kind of difficult for him with his credit card and stuff. It's all voluntary stuff. So we built him a little OpenStack 2-node cluster that runs out of his bathroom. he's got good internet connectivity there. So they were able to do their sort of their development and build and, you know, the compiles and things on this little setup in his bathroom. The only problem he has with it, sometimes his cleaner comes and unplugs it and plugs the vacuum cleaner in. But Bunny was really thankful. We met him down at a Linux conf in Canberra about 4 years ago and did this for him. And that's still running now. It's a handy little thing. So that's about the smallest deployment. I mean, generally this stuff is for bigger deployments. I guess the interesting thing is I'm looking at this more as a point of view of telling you guys about it. That's it's probably not something that you'd end up as a user of, but it could be something if you want to get into contributing to a project or open source. There's very little unemployment in the OpenStack world. Once you develop some skills and expertise around either coding or testing or, you know, operating OpenStack, it's a great, you know, there's a great employment market, a lot of demand for OpenStack skilled people. But yeah, for the smaller business, it's generally not that optimal option. I mean, the smaller business tends to go to someone like Amazon or yep. Azure and use their resources rather than develop your own cloud.
All right, good information. Tristan, where can I get hold of you? Maybe got any more questions for you, mate?
I'm all over the place. Aptera.com is our I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, but I rant and swear a lot on there, so you probably don't want to get there.
What's your Twitter username? I'll add you on there.
Tristan Good.
All right, Tristan Good. Mine is at Brad Odds in a Tech Webcast. Good to have you on, Tristan.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And Sean, do you have any questions for Tristan before we wrap up real quick?
No, it sounds really amazing. It sounds like you're doing some really great stuff. And I just love the philosophy behind open source. I think it's one of the problems between Apple and everything else. We've got all this closed source stuff. And when we focus on open source, we can talk about building something.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to find out about it, just search for OpenStack User Group. We have meetings around the country all the time. You'll find out where you can come along, and you know, there's usually free beer and pizza. And
sounds good.
Let's go to Darryl. What's your final view of the show, mate?
Great show. We had two really great guests, and yeah, I love open source. I just think the philosophy behind it is the philosophy of what the original internet was built for. And an interesting, you know, the how to use Facebook and stuff like that. I mean, it's just something that's, you know, still a black art to me at times because, you know, you put things up, you're told to put things up, but then until you meet people who can actually sort of decrypt all that stuff and say, hey, you know, yeah, you've got a page up there, but it's not doing you much good. Why don't you do X, Y, Z? And I think that's really valuable information. So yeah, great show.
What have you learned today from Shani, Darryl, about your Facebook?
Get out of the ghetto of my Facebook page probably and do something more from the profile.
No, just step into your greatness.
That's it.
Step into my greatness, yes. Well, as long as I step into something else, that's all right.
All right. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Tech Webcast. What about you, Johnny? Where can I get hold of you?
We've already covered how people can hold me, get a hold of me.
I have? Okay.
Yep.
Stuff. All right.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Quick, okay, Jacob. What about you, Jacob? Quick shout out to Andrew Cunningham.
Oh, and he is coming in.
What?
He's wanting us to go to his new site, corners.io.
Which is coming soon. Which is, explain more about it, Jacob. What did he say?
And he's saying it's just a reservation email, no product yet.
No
it's
product still, yet. Still developing. So he actually had Zafo and Rewind.
Yes.
The great products from Andrew Cunningham from Melbourne. Do you know Andrew Cunningham at all, Shani?
He was liking some of my posts before, so he must be in the community somewhere. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So he must know you then?
Well, I don't know. I saw him liking some stuff just a second ago.
Oh, interesting. I'm not sure. I don't know.
There he is.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's on the Gary Vaynerchuk video. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's been commenting and forwarding it and sharing it. Yeah, being really – and the Blockbuster one too. He wrote, read this, all of it, a lesson on what happens when comfort is considered more important than innovation.
There you go. We need him back on the podcast. So, Andrew, if you are listening to this podcast, come back on one day, mate. And you too, Shani, you're good to have you on.
I just want you and everyone on this podcast and everyone listening just to know that your voice matters.
Yeah.
And starting to share that voice is when the magic happens. You know, when you're hiding in the shadows, you can't do too much. And especially when you've got those ideas within you that are just kind of screaming to get out, it's just like you got to honor that.
Just do it.
Just basically start somewhere. Don't worry about taking over the whole world first. Just start somewhere, little baby steps.
Yep.
And suddenly little baby steps become huge, big leaps.
Exactly. Daryl, there you go, mate. That's good tip for your new podcast.
Exactly. I might have to sort of plagiarise that. Use it under corporate, you know, licence.
You can take it. I'm pretty sure we all share the same philosophy.
Yes.
You know, it's beautiful.
Yep.
It is
indeed.
All right, let's go to Jacob. What about you? Where can they hold you, Jacob?
At jazzbot32669 1z.
1z. Let's go to Steve. What about you, Steve?
And you can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
And also a shout-out to Dave DeFranco as well, Jacob. He's been doing some great content, mate. Have you checked it out?
Not yet.
Okay. I thought you did. What else, Jacob? Anything else you want to say? Tristan, where can they get hold of you, mate, if you want to – ask you any more questions before we go. Just mention that real quick again.
At Tristan Good on Twitter or aptera.com or tristan@aptera.com. That's my email.
All right. Good stuff, mate. Thanks for being on the show.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jacob, last word on you, mate. What do you want to say at the end?
You lost a game. I win.
Oh, yeah, and happy birthday to Daryl for his birthday on Wednesday.
Oh, thank you very much.
And hope you have a good one, mate.
Thank you. And you too. With your
thank you,
birthdays,
mate. Thank you. And no doubt I will be going out and doing stuff. Jacob, thanks, mate, for your tea. Mum too.
Okay.
She chatted to you too. She's going to come on the podcast too. Betty, your name is?
Hey, don't party too much.
Do you want to say do a shout-out to Betty, Daryl?
Yes. Hello, Betty, and thanks for supporting the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you on here one day.
Oh, yeah, she'll be definitely on there one day, yeah. She loves technology. Apparently her last job was in technology. Apparently she did a lot of stuff with technology, apparently.
Well, we'll have to interrogate her. I mean, interview her about that.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know she told me. Interesting.
There we go.
Apparently, yeah, she had a lot of technology, being involved in a lot of technology. So, yeah. Okay, thanks, Jacob. You lost the game as well, mate.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at kerryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech webcast. Ha! Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!